Sort of funk it.
I see it, but I don't believe it.
And we're back.
Do we still do that intro?
I don't know. Kinda. I mean, kind of. Fuck it, right?
Shades of a bygone era.
Yeah. Ages long past.
The podcast name, we will no longer speak as if it were Voldemort.
Yeah, that works.
Oh!
All right, guys. No Brandon today. We're recording in the morning.
Hopefully
this episode actually goes up.
It's because your boy Jake here got a job and has work this afternoon.
Yabos!
Yeah, nah, I definitely don't miss that whole going to a place where I have to socially interact with people and then act like I give a shit if they're talking to me. It's not easy. First of all, people don't realize how much effort it takes for me to, like, socialize with people and not have the face of,
stop fucking talking to me. Go the fuck away.
It takes a lot of work.
Sometimes, though, at that place, you can have that face and they still don't get it.
Ah, see, that would that's not like getting a twitch and shit.
Like Jake's first training day, this dude would not leave.
I remember, I think you mentioned it.
Fucking Maddie.
Maddie Ice, yeah, that's you mentioned that shit.
Would not leave. He's a nice guy, he's a good guy, but it's like, bro.
Well, and I said this about Jake. Dude
trying to train.
Jake likes to talk more than a lot, just as much as I do. But when he's working, it's a whole other fucking thing. When he has free time, sure. But when he's working, no. Every time, I mean, the few times I've worked together with him, it was the same thing. So, like, I could imagine, I could just see him getting fucking annoyed. Because Brian always wanted to fucking talk when we were working. It's like, dude, you're literally paying us to fucking work. Like, stop fucking talking to us. Dog shit.
Wait, remember when I said that to him? That was like the last time he asked me to come work with him too. Because I said, "Yo, bro, I'm trying to work, not fucking hang out, and I'm trying to get paid." And yeah, that was the last time he said.
I got hired on like two or three more jobs, but then he could tell after I fucking had it, he stopped fucking. Like, that's when things kind of went down.
Well, yeah, because that's when he's like, this motherfucker undercut me.
Oh, he'd been trying to get with her for months.
And you just kind of swoop in.
Oh, there's the right marker.
I forgot this here the other day.
Sometimes I lie on the ginger thing too much. Because absolutely, that was why initially it happened. Check mark. I'll be a woman's check mark. I don't give a shit.
I fucking love you, guy.
But, yeah.
Alright, so before we get into the actual episode, we're going to get into something that is sad for all wrestling fans across the board.
Yeah.
The passing of Razor Ramon, aka Scott Hall, a true legend.
An outsider.
Only 63 years old, a man who lived a hard life, and he had turned himself around.
Did you see what Bret Hart said?
Bret Hart
really encompassed kind of like the toll. That era specifically took off guys like him. So, I mean, some of the shit I saw wrestling fans say on Twitter just makes me embarrassed because y'all are fucking stupid and never worked a day in your life, or have never dealt with addiction on any conceivable level, so you just rant about shit that you have no idea what you're talking about, or whatever.
Fuck it, right?
It was nice to see a lot of, like, the wrestlers, like, and just read their stories and fond memories. It was just, I've always loved Razor Ramon, and that's what as a kid, he was one of the characters that absolutely pulled me in.
I'll tell you one of the things that I saw that I never saw before this week that had me in tears was him on Jerry Springer. He went on to Jerry Springer to meet two kids that both had AIDS that were big fans of his, and he sat there with them and popped them up, and then he gave them the real Intercontinental Championship. Like, he's all, this is the real one, I'll get a new one, I don't care, and gives it to him. And it's just this genuinely, like, man, Scott Hall's just a sweetheart.
I've never heard anything bad about him in fan interactions, like, ever.
Well, the guy who wrote his Hall of Fame speech was like, you know, I had heard, you know, Scott was going to be really difficult to deal with and all that, and he goes, and it was the best time I'd had in my whole life. Like,
well, and one guy, like, talked about,
how he was meeting with Adam like a meet and greet or something. I forget what it was for, but he was like he told Sky, he's like, hey, you know, we direct you this way. It's a least path. You know, there's less people you'll get run to and get hounded. He's like, whoa. He's like, why would I do that? He's like, deny myself a pop. And I was like,
yeah, I like that. I was like, oh. Or like the legendary him coming out to the Fugees.
Dude, that ECW shit is the best. Dude, when I saw that later on, I was like, that's the best shit ever.
It's basically his indie and Japanese entrance music was the Fugees, Ready or Not.
It's fucking awesome.
It's so good. And he would come out, Ready or Not.
It was good shit, dude.
Too fun.
But no, it's really sad. And
Kevin Nash's fucking heartfelt message was gutting.
Man, that hurt much. So, yeah.
I mean, he lost his best friend. He lost somebody that meant a lot to him.
And someone who's unfortunately had to bury too many people in the last 5 years. I know how he feels, and that. I don't wish that on anybody. Not that I'd ever wish it on someone as awesome as Kevin Nash, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I get it. Like, I'm right there with you. I've buried my fair share of friends, too, you know? It's just...
Yeah,
it's shitty having to do.
Yeah, it's definitely like losing a PC in that sense. Especially when you're as close as those two were. I mean, you know, Triple H and Shawn and Walt, and all of them have always been major kids, too.
I mean, not only did they do business together for years, but I mean, they did business in the era where you traveled together.
300 fuck. I can't imagine spending I was on a fucking naval ship. But I mean, smaller scale. Way more intimate.
Instead of thousands of people, it's fucking three or four of you on the road.
And like, I believe the stories. Like, I just hear when I've seen interviews of Triple H talk, and Scott Hall, for instance, talk about wrestling, I believe when I hear about the stories about them just talking for hours in a car about wrestling and everything, I'm like, oh yeah, those guys are encyclopedias when it comes to
that. Do you believe
shit.
Jeff Jarrett when he says he was part of the clique before his first departure from WWE? Because that's what he claims.
Believe that for a second.
Because I traveled the road with those guys all the time.
I mean, he may have traveled a few times, but he wasn't part of their clique. Like, all
he
them.
Claims he was part of the clique. He claims he was a horseman, and fucking yeah. Conrad gives him shit for all of this.
Yeah, like, no. You were in NWO 2000, and you should carry that shame, because it is shameful that that was even a thing.
But you also started TNA, so you should.
I do, because you know what, I have quite a bit of TNA DVDs, and I have, like, I'll show you guys that stuff on screen anytime. That's so much good stuff. But anyways, I
will. Yeah, we digress. We will miss you, Razor.
Yeah.
Scott.
My favorite matches, if those who haven't seen any Razor matches, the obvious ones are Shawn Michaels and the ladder matches at WrestleMania 10 and SummerSlam was at 94, I think.
Yeah.
WrestleMania 10 is the money one. I would say 1-2-3 Kid and him on Raw is excellent.
Him and Kevin Nash have a tag match against Lex Luger and the Giant that's fucking phenomenal in WCW. There's the Steiners and the Outsiders. I'd recommend that.
So, checking out, I mean, yeah, those ladder matches are... I mean, those are the blueprint for the modern ladder match that need to be probably busted out again, because some of these ladder matches are getting a little out of control. But
yeah, I was just saying.
Those ladders that they used in those ladder matches, they just bought those fuckers at Home Depot.
Yeah.
These double reinforced steel
ladders. They gotta stop the flimsy ass ladders, because I think that's how a lot of guys are getting hurt, because the ladders aren't stable enough. It's like, yeah, you can't powerbomb someone through a fucking ladder, but oh well. I don't, like. Honestly, when I saw Edge, Jeff Hardy fucking crush Edge on the ladder and it break, I was like, holy fucking shit. I'm like, please don't do that again. Like, Jesus Christ. I can't imagine how much that fucking hurt.
Alright, I'm gonna fucking switch gears. And Dax Harwood recently cut a promo on Booker T for calling out FTR. And it's just Dax sitting on a fucking porch at an Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fun promo, and so I just wanted to play it.
I didn't even know
I heard what you had to say, and I guess the cool thing to do nowadays is attach your name to FTR.
I don't know exactly. He said something in passing mentioning them, and, you know, it's wrestling. You take the smallest thing, and you turn it into something big, and you
roll with it.
You roll it into an angle.
And obviously, I don't think anything will come of it. But
the I don't take much of what Booker says with more of the grain of salt.
The reason where you're even listening to this is because kind of fuck Booker T for being so up WWE's ass. I still love Booker.
I love him too. He's one of my favorite. He's probably one of my favorite tag teams.
He is like Mr. Toe the Company line.
Yeah, and I get that. I mean, if WWE are paying me the money they fucking pay him, I probably would be saying similar. I'd be doing a similar thing. Like, why would I fuck with my money? Especially when I have family. But, I mean, I give John Cena shit because it's like, look, I want the country, fuck you, bro. And you have plenty of money. So you're only doing that to protect the seen money you're already getting. So, like, fuck off. Like, that's all I'm saying.
Fuck off with that shit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I love that. I love that.
FTR's great. They're fucking great.
Dax cutting a promo on Booker.
I guess the cool thing to do nowadays is attach your name to FTR. If you want a match, you want a marquee match, I can understand that. I get that. You want one last run. I want your name to the Briscoe Brothers or your Stadium Brothers or your Booker T. You attach your name to FTR so you can have one last great match. I understand that. I get that. I don't blame you. But right now I'm on a vacation here at my Airbnb. And the funny thing is I don't have to wait to Dallas or in Texas. I'm in San Antonio, Texas, and I'm enjoying some family time, but Booker, you called us out, and you said if we were going to be around Dallas, then come take this ass whooping and Tony Khan would let us. The funny thing is, I don't have to answer anybody, okay? It's you that answers somebody. See, that is me. You got to answer to him and get permission from him. I don't have to get permission from anybody. I run my life. Nobody else tells me what to do. I run my life. And here's the thing, I challenged you, me and my partner, Cash, we challenged you and your brothers to match Royal Rumble, and I saw the bitch in your eyes. You didn't say anything else, you didn't accept the challenge. You didn't go to bits and politics, you know, I can't politic to him because, you know, he ain't gonna give me what I want, because I'm 5'10" North Carolina. But if you call the thing from the team, you're gonna tell me that this is what I want. One last thing, I'm gonna prove that Harley Heat is the greatest tag team of all time. So right now I'm telling you, but if you want it, if you want FTR, open arms. I don't have to answer anybody. You answer. You're the corporate man, okay? I ain't corporate man. I'm the one that rocks the boat. You stand in the straight line. If you want FTR, if you want myself and Cash, you want the absolute best tag team of all time walking this earth today, you and your brother, just get on the phone.
Please.
Daddy Vince. See
what
he says then. Until then, see you on my
missions.
Top guy.
One, loved that.
It's such a good promo, bro.
Two, Booker is in great shape. I mean, the photos I've seen of him, like, guy's probably still good. He probably absolutely could still go. Stevie Ray, I don't know, but I mean, the guy was always a sound wrestler, so I don't anticipate that being an issue for him. But yeah, I would watch Harlem Heat versus like a ton of fucking modern tag teams. I love that shit. Hell, give me the Hardy Boys versus fucking Harlem Heat. I will watch that.
I can't argue with that.
Hardy Boys are like one of my all-time favorite tag teams, hands down. Like especially in the era when they when I saw that ladder match with Edge and Christian and the Hardy. That's like, everybody loves talking about TLC matches, but that fucking tag team ladder match where they're fighting over Terry's services and shit, it's fucking great. Like, it's such a good match. It's paced excellently. It's hard hitting. It's not, like, it's insane, but it's not, like, some of the shit you see these days. It's just, like, how is that they're not breaking their fucking necks?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll openly admit, some of these guys are getting a little too fucking crazy with some of the shit they're doing.
Yeah, let's talk about something that I know is near and dear to Jason's heart, the purchase of Ring of Honor.
Well, I tickled my penis, I ain't gonna lie.
As we know, it's now been announced that Tony Khan did, in fact, purchase Ring of Honor.
With his own money.
With his own money, he's now purchased the company, all of
the library,
and the entire library. Oh yeah, we now have New Japan set to record on the Sun.
Did you see his fucking eyes? Go, wow!
Oh, this was a great match.
Sonata, yeah.
This is what we passed out to the other night.
By the way, there's a story about Scott Hall. He once had a match with a very young Japanese wrestler that he...
Is this for the IWGP US title?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he once had a match in Japan with a young lion that he had taken a liking to, and he was told he could do whatever he wanted, and he said, well, can I put him over? And like, yeah, I guess. That young wrestler was Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Mm.
And Scott Hall put him over, and they basically remade the 1-2-3 Kid Scott Hall match.
That's awesome.
With Tanahashi playing the role of Sean Waltman.
Yeah.
And
oh, in Japan, they eat that shit up. Like, that's one thing I love about Japanese audiences. They're really passionate, and they just are respectful of the whole profession. And I very rarely ever read a Japanese fan
that doesn't have that kind of, like, I wish a lot of American fans would take some fucking cues. That's all I gotta say.
Right. Okay, so we gotta work here because Jake's probably gonna get out of here in an hour and a half ish. So we're still doing okay. But your thoughts on the Ring of Honor purchase?
I think it's a great thing. And basically, from what I've heard, Tony Khan's basically use it as like NXT to WWE kind of thing. Which, okay, I'm honestly fine with. And they can do interpromotional shit, which will drive interest, in my opinion, because Ring of Honor has, you know, the history, and there's also quite a bit of...
Sir, no distraction with me while he's in the...
Sorry, this one,
I know, right?
This one was like, I saw it and I had to.
But no, ROH, like, has so much in their library, so now AEW can really look at actually developing a streaming service. Because now they have content.
Well, one, they have 3 years of their own content. And two, that now they have fucking ROH content. And then also, you just. ROH is belt. ROH are prestigious. They have, like, notable champions. There's a lot of history. I mean, CM Punk and all of them, Brian Danielson, all of these fucking guys. Like, I want to see Don Johnson and Brian Danielson so fucking bad. My case is, I want to see Kenny Omega and Jonathan Gresham. I want to see Jonathan Gresham and CM Punk.
Like, by the way, Jonathan Gresham won the Progress World Championship last night, so he now holds championships for subsidiaries to both WWE and AEW.
That's because
he's already the ROH champion.
Yeah. Well, he's
interim.
Still. Yeah, because him and Bandido got a face at Supercard of Honor to unify.
But still, technically. Yeah.
No, technically he's a world champion. ROH world champion. So.
And Progress. So somehow Jonathan Gresham's out here breaking down barriers, I guess.
Dude, Gresham is awesome. The foundation in ROH was some of my favorite shit over the last few years. Like, it's great.
And he's married to Jordan Grace.
All the pure matches they did. Oh, but yeah, and he's married to Jordan Grace. Lucky fucking man.
Good for him.
All right. So, not last week, but the week before, Big E was having a match with Ridge Holland. And on the outside, Ridge decided to deliver a belly-to-back suplex.
Yeah, that was...
And dumped Big E on his neck. He broke his C4 and C1. And now there's a lot of talk that Big E will never wrestle again. And if he hadn't been Big E with the amount of muscle he already had, he
would have broke his neck.
He would have broke his neck, paralyzed. Possibly died.
Yeah,
paralyzed. That, yeah.
So, I don't know what else to say about that. Just besides, you know, we wish the best for Big E. And, I mean, hopefully he can wrestle again. If not, at least the man's charismatic as fuck. He'll find work in entertainment.
I was gonna say. I mean, his charisma's off the fucking charts. But no, I hope
he gets healthy. I love Big E, and they did him dirty on his WWE title run. He deserves another one.
But they did him dirty. I'm gonna fucking take a Cornette stance here. Why are you doing that move on the outside on Raw?
Yeah.
On fucking free TV that means nothing. Now, granted, I know WWE doesn't have pay-per-views anymore.
Not really, no.
But
and you couldn't get me to fucking pay for WWE pay-per-view right now.
On Raw, you're going to have the man fucking do a move on the outside like that that is so dangerous, and then fucking, obviously, he's not capable of doing a belly-to-back.
It's a big man. He's got a fucking...
320 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, that's a big man. A big, thick, meaty man. He's got to fucking get over his head, and... I mean, I'm not saying the guy can't do it, but I don't think he intentionally fucking
No,
can.
God no.
But
Anyway.
Yeah, it just sucks.
Have y'all seen any of this gross Corey Graves and Carmella YouTube show?
Fuck no.
Apparently it's just basically them fucking, but without actually showing any nudity. It's just, the whole thing is them talking, and every single thing they do, every single thing is just them insinuating fucking. And I don't know what it is that WWE's trying to do with this. First of all, we all remember that she broke up his fucking marriage.
I mean, they can try and act like that wasn't the case, but sure. I mean, whatever. It's not like I'm... And maybe this is me projecting. It could be very well be. But I, when I was married and I cheated on my wife, I said the same shit Corey did, so... I mean, okay. And I've had other people cheat on me and say similar shit. Like, it's just... It's bullshit.
It's just gross, and it's bleeding into Raw, where...
Oh, God, that's
why I can't see this. They're, like, on commentary, like, fucking whispering sweet nothings to each other while she sits on his lap, and it's bleeding into the match, and it's just...
Well, and he thinks
that was a belly-to-back suplex, yeah, done safely. Sorry, guys, Hiroshi Tanahashi is a professional.
Dude's a fucking god.
And also, Sonata's not a 320-pound man.
No, Sonata. Both these guys are so good. Like, Sonata and Tanahashi. I mean, Tanahashi's at the end of his career, but...
He's Japanese John Cena.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
That's what Matt was explaining to me. He's Japanese.
He absolutely is. I mean... It was hard for me to get into him and Omega's match at Wrestle Kingdom just because I already knew what was going.
Cool.
That was a huge fucking frog splash, though.
Dude, he gets pretty good air on his shit.
And it's over.
Wow, I beat him with the... This is where he wins the belt. Right.
This is something better than...
Yeah. All right. Just because we want everybody to know we are not 100% all the time sunshine and fucking roses when it comes to AEW. You haven't seen it yet, but Jake and I have. Talking about Britt Baker no selling thumbtacks. You don't have to see it and have an opinion on it.
Oh, no, I hate that shit. It's like Lio Rush no selling the powerbomb off the ladder. Fucking enraged me.
Like, and maybe not want to watch his shit for, like, a long time and not support
like,
him.
Like, she sells it for a second, but it's just, like, all she does is...
It feels rushed. I saw that was a common complaint I saw.
And it's just, and she tried to tweet out, like, puncture marks, like, see, these aren't fake tacks, and somebody's like, we're not saying they were fake tacks. We're saying you're acting like they were. And you need to act like they hurt more when they do hurt more.
But. Yeah, I've stepped on a tack, and that sucks ass. I can't imagine getting fucking slammed on one. Or once, I should say.
Aubrey took a fuck ton to the forearm, too, when she fucking counted it out.
Yeah.
Like, she has pictures of, like, just all up and down her arm and shit like that. It's like, oof.
Yeah, adrenaline's going. You're in the match, you're focused, she's doing her job. She's not thinking.
Oh, yeah. Aubrey's awesome. Fucking badass.
I'm hanging with Jordan now, so.
You're not
today, no. Her mom fucking conned her into shit. Okay. We still gotta give other time for him to get out of here.
But there's no rush in that.
Still got like an hour out. We still got like an hour, so.
I still want to go to the dispensary before you go.
For sure.
Get Jason and I some weed to get through the evening.
Nice. Weed?
The Hardys are back together, guys.
I know.
Oh, they got the music, too. It's so good.
The fact that they got the music is insane.
I love it. I can't believe WWE did not have that shit trademarked. I don't know why, but there's probably a reason.
I was stoked. Either way, I loved it. I like that the Hardys are back. I like that they're going to get a real, actual last run like they should. Because WWE doesn't give two fucks about legends or about pro wrestling's history, about any of that shit.
I'm assuming what we're going to see is, a Hardy run, and then a broken Hardy thing that leads to Matt leaving, and then... And maybe a Willow.
I think I could see a Jeff Hardy Willow. Yeah, but I can also see a Jeff Hardy solo run. I can see Willow and Hardy, you know, Willow and Broken Matt doing a thing, which I'd watch. I love that shit.
I mean, Willow and Broken Matt or Brother Nero and Broken... I don't care. Just give me some... Give
it's
me
not for everybody, but I love it. Like, I mean, all the Broken Matt Hardy stuff with Brother Nero and TNA, or Impact at that time, is fucking excellent. I love it all. And, I mean, WWE did a couple of good things, but they just never really gave it breath. Like, they did, I mean, it was one of their higher rated segments in the last fucking few years. And it's like, I don't know, you can just tell that WWE going public as a company was probably the worst thing that happened to them. As a fan, from my perspective, it's company really has not had my interest since. It's very much struggled since 2010 to maintain my interest. I mean, most of the time I'm watching highlights. I'll occasionally go back and watch Raw and SmackDown, but it's been years since I've really consistently watched Raw, SmackDown, pay-per-view. But I just would rather do something else with my time. I mean, nothing against anything. But anybody else that's watching loves WWE. It just doesn't interest me.
Excuse me, sir. Don't you mean premium live event?
Yeah, whatever.
Sorry.
Dude, what about fucking Jericho and the shit he did on AEW? Did you hear about that,
Jason? I did see Jericho's segment, and that was one thing I can comment on. Like, I mean, I get why he's doing it. It's cheap heat. I don't think it's cheap heat.
Well, not cheap heat.
Straight heat.
I mean, like cheap heat. It just feels like it's an easy thing to get people to react to.
But what is antithetical to the AEW fucking?
Oh, it's that, and I get the sports entertainment. Like, again, I'm one of those fans that thinks there's a big difference between a pro wrestling and sports entertainment. It's a philosophy thing. It's not really anything else.
Wait, why the fuck is Mark Wahlberg in a movie called Father Stew? That just sounds weird. Anyways,
whatever. distracted, but
yes, you are. It's all good. He
was playing a college priest there.
Yeah, whatever.
Or a Catholic priest.
But no, it's just Raw is like damn near unwatchable in my opinion. I've never been more like uninterested in the WrestleMania buildup than this one. I mean, WrestleMania 29 comes to mind, and so does 27. But it's just I just don't give a shit about half the matches they've announced so far.
We're still gonna WrestleMania.
Oh yeah, I mean I'm gonna watch it. I haven't missed WrestleMania since like 27. I had to go back and watch 27. I didn't watch it live, but every other Mania I've watched live. I've watched every other Mania live since 13. Wait, no, 13. No, 13 was later too because I had to get VHS. Probably 14 was the first one I did live.
I don't know how it's gonna work out if it's gonna be Jake watching Saturday here and me watching Sunday. I don't know. I want to see if we can both get it off, but that's asking a lot. Anyway, apparently Cody's officially signed with WWE.
Oh, good for him. I mean, I don't. The only reason I can understand doing that is money. The money's really good. I mean, you can't sit here and tell me he really believes that good creative is going to be good to him there, and he's going to get everything WWE says they're going to give him. I think it's bullshit. But do I also think they're going to stick him back in fucking Stardust shit? No.
I'm pretty sure he would be shrewd enough in negotiations
to make sure that doesn't fucking happen.
Yeah.
Like,
because he hated that, by all accounts.
Yeah. He's not going to be the last guy to go from AEW to WWE. He's not. Because money. And these guys are people, and they have families. And if it's what's best for their family, and it's what they want to do, then they're going to fucking do it. I mean, I'll probably still watch Cody. If Cody's in WWE, I'll check out some of the stuff he does just to see, because I did like Cody in WWE prior. I liked him as a heel.
So I keep seeing these people, and I mean, it's one of those, I think it's more of a straw man argument that people create in the IWC where they're just like, everybody's saying this, but it's really, they saw like one guy on
it. Yeah, yeah.
But,
people are saying that they don't understand why people are disappointed in Cody Rhodes or going to WWE. And it's like, I'm not disappointed in him going where the money is and, you know, doing what's best for his
wife and kid. Cody hasn't made billions of dollars.
Nope.
I have no problem with that. What I'm disappointed in is the last 3 years of AEW was all fucking doublespeak from Cody, essentially.
Yeah.
It means nothing. None of it meant anything. The whole change the world thing, he didn't really believe in any of it.
If he did, there would be some conviction he would have stayed. So I have no disappointment in him leaving for WWE. I have disappointment in giving up on AEW.
But now, if this is like some big fucking elaborate work, which I kind of think it is.
I still haven't ruled that out.
No, it's still very much a possibility that he's working everybody. And either one, he shows up in ROH, or two, he comes back in AEW and goes full-blown fuck everybody kind of thing. Leans into the hate that he's been getting a lot lately. Because I'm sorry, like, dude, you came out in the Homelander gear. Like, you can sit here and argue it wasn't. That shit looked like Homelander gear. And it's like, are you serious? And then it's like, dude, it's not that anybody has a problem with you being patriotic. It's the rich fucking bullshit Southern America shit that everybody's tired of hearing. Especially most veterans. Like, we just fucking roll our eyes, most of us, when people talk about fucking super America, all that shit. Because 9 times out of 10, you guys haven't served. And that doesn't make a patriot, but it's like, why are you so fucking adamant about being a patriot, and then you could do the one thing that, like, shows most people that you are? Because you're giving of yourself. Like, it's just something bigger than you. So it's like, to most people, that's what that says. So it's like, I don't understand what conservatives and that shit. But anyways.
Will you ever understand conservatives?
No. I mean, I don't understand liberals either. They're fucking idiots, but yeah. I love that Scorpio Sky has gotten his fucking shot at the belt, though. I'll say that, man. The guy is so good. And I do like him and Ethan Page. Like, man of the Year, the great tag team. And I don't really give a shit about Dan Lambert, but I also think...
Do you like that he's coming out wearing the other belt?
But he's wearing both of them?
Dan Lambert's
coming out wearing the other belt.
What the fuck? Why?
I don't know, but he came out wearing the other
belt. I don't like that. I don't even know why he's coming out still with two... Why the fuck are they coming out with two belts still? What the fuck was the point of the unification match? I'm sorry, AEW, but that's that kind of shit that's like, huh? It just doesn't make any fucking sense.
Talk about on this podcast for the first time, EC3.
Oh my god.
And control your narrative.
You mean the guys that barely pulled 100 fucking people to a show?
The anti-vax program.
Yeah, like, and it's so funny because I knew as soon as they announced that rant room shit, and that.
And you've got to explain the rant room.
Okay, well, first off, rant room is like this thing where they basically charge fans.
What is it?
He's telling you right now.
Where is this?
This is Control Your Narrative, CYN. It's like this indie promotion that...
It's an indie promotion that EC3 and Braun Strowman have started. It's essentially
the
anti-vax right-wing promotion.
Yeah, it's got Austin Aries there. Killer Cross is being advertised to. It's got a lot of fucking weirdos.
I keep seeing people go, that's where Ali should go. And I'm like,
no.
Ali would not work with those
people. No, he would not. but anyways... No, they barely drew like 80 people to the show, I think. And then
the room.
What?
The rant room.
Oh, the rant room was like a closet, basically. And basically a fan would pay $100 to have like 3 minutes to basically say whatever most internet fans fucking say online to the wrestler's face. One, most people are cowards and they ain't gonna say shit to your face. That's just my experience with people. And especially so on the fucking internet. But I also knew that as soon as they announced that and that nobody gave a shit enough to do that, especially when you're charging $100 fucking, like,
I love pro wrestling, but why would I pay $100 fucking just to lecture some pro wrestler about something I really don't
fucking... And here's the thing, I can do it for free by fucking adding you on Twitter.
Yeah.
I've still got a pretty good chance you're going to read it.
I mean, I had that dumb, what was her name, the Hollywood Holly chick fucking respond to me. So it's like, if I really want to talk shit to some pro wrestler, I'll do that. But, one, I usually have better shit to do. And two,
It's just waste of fucking time most of the time, in my opinion.
Yeah, while your brother's getting beat up, you're gonna dance. That one gets me.
Yeah, we didn't mention that.
That's just
Jeff Hardy's debut. Comes out while Matt's getting beat up and
does his dance.
Now he did a shortened version of it.
I was gonna say it was quick. It was almost in stride, if you will.
He didn't stop moving. That's for sure.
Yeah, there was forward progress as he did it. So I mean.
Yeah, I know. I just it's funny.
It's fucking hilarious.
So anyway, this fucking program or this control your narrative. I mean, just
it's
I was a big EC3 guy until he started actually fucking, like, showing us the real EC3. I was a big Braun Strowman guy until we really got to know Adam Shear.
Oh, God, he's a terrible person.
Austin Aries is shit and always has been shit. Always be shit, and he's a fucking
That one bummed me out because I was a fan of his in Impact for a while, but I also didn't know a lot about the other shit. So, because, I don't care much about their personal lives. I don't go digging for this shit on these pro wrestlers' personal lives. I don't give a fuck. Like, I care that they stay healthy. I care that they're happy. I care that they're getting paid to support their families. Like, yeah, obviously, I'm not a shit person. But I also think it's fucking weird that you guys are showing up at hotel rooms, showing up at their fucking houses. Me and Yim and Keith Lee just had that fucking happen.
He has some balls to show up.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, that takes some serious fucking cojones to show up at that man's house. Like, dude. Especially in Florida, where the stand your ground law is. Like, are you serious? You don't want to get shot? Because, I mean, if you show up at my fucking house like that, you're probably going to get shot.
I mean, if I had a gun here, you would be getting shot.
I have not. That would be a proper response. But my point is, I just can't understand, like, what motivates or it's just drives a fan to show up at, like, the hotels, even the airport. To me, that shit's creepy as fuck, because it's like you literally are tracking down or doing research to the point to where you could deduce where the fuck they're staying at, where their flights are. And it's like, that's fucking weird, man.
Yeah, they did it to fucking Arn too, way
better. Oh yeah, the Arn one was fucking God damn, dude. That, yeah. Arn even said, he's like, you're lucky my wife wasn't. No, man.
Well, he was like, I was like half asleep, so I didn't really
register. Yeah, no, I've been that. Like, I've woken up from a stupor and answered my door, and I get what he was trying to say there. Yeah, like, yeah. And he's older, too, so he's like, kind of, you know, takes a second that cognitive thing to run in.
I'm trying to find it. Last night, I found this fucking thread of...
Did you see what I tweeted out about Keith Lee? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
This is about... Friday night.
All the jokes and stuff that people are doing?
No, Friday night, like, after his match on Friday night or whatnot, I was just like, at Real Keith Lee, I figured it out. You are high class. Kick your ass. And I fucking love it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, about that same time, he was getting tweeted... So all these jokes, people were roasting him because of his voice. Let me read some of them.
They were great, honestly.
Keith Lee looks like the sort of guy who wants to speak to the manager, but only to tell him what a great job the staff is doing. Keith Lee looks like the kind of person who always leaves a penny, but never takes the penny from the trays at the cash register. Keith Lee is the type of person that says, "You insolent rapscallion!" after someone dies at the hands of a villain.
I love it.
Keith Lee looks like the kind of guy who would argue with the referee in a very polite manner. Sir,
that was a three. I am quite certain that the opponent was completely inadequately covered in such a way that his shoulder could not protrude vertically in any fashion. This one just says, "I hope."
That's my favorite.
This one just says, "I hope Keith Lee owns a monocle." Sean Ross Sapp says, "Keith Lee looks like the kind of guy that when something completely malfunctions and explodes, he would say, well, that looks peculiar." I bet if I was kicking someone out of a club during my bouncing career and Keith Lee was present,
He'd stand there supportively, but would not dare infringe. Keith Lee looks like someone to correct you when you see something purple. Keith Lee looks like someone to correct you when you see something purple and go, that's more of a magenta. Keith Lee looks like the kind of guy that says indubitably when answering your question.
Oh my god.
I love indubitably.
It's so good.
So I remember the first time I used it on Christopher, he was like, what? I was like,
Indubitably.
Well, that's all I really got.
That 40 minutes.
Can go over Revolution real quick.
That's true. We never did talk about Revolution.
All right. Statlander versus Layla Hirsch.
This was really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I get, you know, why Layla won. So, like,
Statlander's so huge. I love her, though. She's
a gorgeous woman.
Gorgeous.
They're both actually really good wrestlers. Like, I like watching them.
It's been interesting what they've been doing with Statlander since. Also, she's been like wiping off the makeup. She's been she's not smiling. She's not.
They're transitioning her to a more serious, like, right type role of a gimmick, I guess you could say.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense. You know, character progression. Like, I get it. Especially if they want to have a champion
someday, which I do think she'll win the belt someday. But Thunder Rosa's pretty over as a face, so you need a monster heel to take the belt off her.
Then you can beat a little bit at the time. Like, Britt just had a really long fucking run, and Riho had a really long fucking run. So I thought Thunder Rosa would get her at least 6 months.
A solid run, yeah.
Hook versus QT Marshall.
Oh, this is great.
This is great.
I don't love anything Hook does at this point. I'm sold.
Yeah, I'm all in on that. Yeah.
Send Hook.
They're doing it right, too.
Yep.
They're not overexposing him.
Nope.
They're not having him on TV every week.
Nope.
They're not having him speak.
In fact, I don't think he's really been on Dynamite. Like, he's a reason to tune in to Rampage, because that's where you get your Hook fix.
And he doesn't need to talk when his dad is Taz.
And, and selling him the fuck up. Yeah, I was going to say.
He's got a built-in mouthpiece.
And he uses a lot of Taz's moves, which I fucking love. I don't understand why more of these prodigies who are like their father and their sons.
The B prodigies in fucking AEW.
Well, that was another point I was.
You fucking ruined. They ruined
Kurt Hennig's kid
by making him everything but Kurt Hennig's kid.
And then they finally put him with Paul Heyman, and then just stop it. It was like what?
Bo Dallas.
Yep. Bo Dallas is quite a good wrestler.
Bray Wyatt? You just can't, like... Okay, Bray Wyatt? Yeah, he did the character package. Great. It was really good. But to just completely ignore the fact that his dad is a fucking legacy? Maybe you could have let Bo Dallas use the Rotunda name. Nope, not going to do that.
No.
And they never fucking McGillicuddy.
And why they never... And all these tag teams, they fucking put Bray Wyatt in. It's like, why didn't you put him with Bo Dallas? Like, what the fuck?
His brother was right there the whole fucking time.
Wrestling fans, we love brother tag teams. Like, isn't that, like, obvious?
Young Bucks. Hardy Brothers.
Yeah, I mean...
Brothers of Destruction, even though they weren't real brothers.
But, yeah. But, I mean, we still like the concept.
Edge and Christian, even though they weren't real brothers.
Yeah. But we still like the concept.
The Dudley Boys, even though they weren't
real brothers. Harlem Heat.
Even though they were real brothers.
Real brothers, yeah.
I don't know why it's even done with them, but...
But they're doing great with Hook. And I...
The most natural a tag team can be is brothers.
Yes.
Because then you've been a fucking team your whole life.
Yep. Young Bucks, sorry.
Yeah, well, that was the first one.
Oh, yeah, that was the first one I mentioned.
But yeah, I mean, I don't get that... I'm surprised Bray still hasn't shown up anywhere.
I think they're just waiting for the right time. I think it's going to be AEW because they can produce the type of stuff that he wants to do at the scale that they want to do it. So, and plus, I mean, I just think he's such a good wrestler. He'd fit in there. And it really was...
I could see him popping in the House of Black too, like as a part of that. But that I don't want to see Bray Wyatt as a part of something. I want to see him the head of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Speaking of House of Black, what a fucking beautiful segue, Jason. Yes. House of Black faced off against Pac Penta and Eric Redbeard. I guess that was excellent. A one-off for Redbeard again.
It was excellent, honestly. I loved it. I thought it was good. Yeah, it sucks if it's a one-off for Redbeard.
You know what? I'm fine with that, though, that they're not afraid to bring him in for a spot here and there, but they don't need him taking up a spot from somebody else.
Yeah, because they're not going to really... I mean, they don't really have anything
for him. I mean, he's just a hoss.
Yeah, they don't have anything really to do with him. He would just get lost in the shuffle.
Let him fucking come in when you need him, and then fucking leave again, and... When he'll get a pop every time he comes back. Especially if you bring him back in Rochester, where everybody fucking knows he's Luke Harper's buddy.
Yep.
Excuse me, John Huber. This match is all
right. I like it. That was good. I'd give it a beat. That's about what I'd give it, yeah.
Let me say, we're just sort of running through this, guys. We're not giving you super in-depth. I mean, this was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston was one of the best fucking wrestling matches on the card. Not
period.
Anything else besides that.
It was a great story. The match told a great story. It was perfectly paced.
It was old school.
It's why, as much as I may not like Jericho as a person or his politics, it absolutely is his best match in AEW. And I thought the Cody Rhodes and him match was his best prior. It's a really good match. This is way better.
Do you know why?
Because
it's an Eddie Kingston match, not a Chris Jericho match.
And the fact that he actually clean tapped it for Eddie is a big rub. It's a big fucking rub. And Eddie deserves that shit. I've loved Eddie Kingston since I saw him in fucking Impact with LAX and King. I fucking loved his stuff in the NWA when he showed up.
Why is the butcher just
eating
a fucking... Oh, he threw it on the ground now. The butcher was just eating a chicken breast or thigh.
Yeah, that's like his whole thing now. He's just constantly just like fucking...
eating shit, but yet he's in the best shape he's been in AEW.
I know, right? He doesn't have a gut anymore, beer gut anymore.
No, it's like he fucking left the band and fucking got cut. Delete.
God, I love seeing the Hardys. It just makes me so happy. And see Jeff in a good spot and not be all drug related. And plus, it's good that he's working with Sting in this regard because it gives him and Sting a chance to, you know, bury that hatchet. I like to see hatchets buried in that regard.
Let's hear the pop for them.
It's a little loud.
That's a little loud.
It's not too loud.
I mean, it is when you have like bad hearing.
Okay, so it's not going to restart.
Yeah, it basically said, fuck you.
Perfect.
Here
we go.
It's a pork chop.
Yeah, he's eating a fucking pork chop.
Where does he throw it? I want to know where he throws the pork chop. It's just gone. Did he put it in his pocket?
Yeah, what the fuck? It is. It's just gone.
I hate it when they cut the cameras when they toss it.
Uh-huh. 35 years-ish, these fucking guys.
One of the greatest tag teams of all time. And I'm coming to the aid of Sting and Darby Allin. We're right watching the back of Sting and Darby here.
I love how the Hardys, to this day, still go with that Hot Topic.
Dude, I love it. The Hot Topic chic. It's great. It's fucking great.
Oh, God. Anyway. Jeff always looks very remorseful.
Yep.
No matter what he's doing. It's probably why he likes the face paint.
But after Eddie Kingston,
Red Dragon, Young Bucks.
This was my favorite match.
Yep, Jurassic Park.
This is my favorite match of the whole fucking card, to be honest.
the three-way tag team.
I saw them do a move in this match that I've never seen, and it was fucking insane. It was towards the end. There's a few spots in this match that were just fucking nutso. It was so good.
By the way, preview for tonight's Raw. AJ Styles returns. Becky Lynch addresses brutal attack on Bianca Belair. Finn Balor versus Austin Theory and RK-Bro versus Alpha Academy, because there's only two tag teams on Raw.
Yeah. It's hard to... WWE and their lack of, like...
Jesus Christ, Control Your Narrative has a fucking seasoning out.
Yeah, they've had seasonings... Like, that's been the whole thing, yeah. They have seasonings, Control Your Nutrition.
I know. I don't like you anymore, EC3.
I know. It's pretty bad. But, I mean, JR has his shit. Everybody has their stuff. So, I can't harp on him too much for that. But, I mean, I would think you have to be a successful company first before you would do something like that. But, whatever.
What did you think of Nikita Lyons' thirst trap post the other day? Did you see it?
I might have. Oh, fuck. I did not see that.
She's not done.
Oh, mother of God.
So are we wrestling or are we doing porn? What are we doing? What's going on?
I don't know and I don't care. Oh, that was wonderful.
He says it with, like, disgust in his voice, though.
It's like disgust and disdain.
I love this meme.
So good. Oh, yeah. Nikita Lyons, you keep doing you, and I will keep enjoying it, because, I mean, good fucking Lord.
You know, I'm more of a fan of, like, her just wrestling and doing the thing with the split.
I don't
need to see her fucking, like, basically showing off her vagina on camera.
Yeah, I mean, she's like...
actually show it to me.
I have no complaints.
I'm not really complaining, but I've got to play devil's advocate because it's not a good fucking show.
All these guys. Well, a reason I could mention this because there's a lot of fucking weird wrestling fans out there that are like pissed off and all weird about Toni Storm starting fucking on OnlyFans. And it's like, I don't think she's wrestling anymore. It's like, dude, you not? She made like 10 grand.
In an hour.
Why the fuck would she come back and wrestle? I mean, I'm sorry, if I could make 10 grand selling my fucking butthole or my cock, I would.
Sir, you're thinking way too in the crotch.
Oh, boobs too, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, your feet.
Oh,
feet is what men are they pay for with men.
True. Feet.
Unfortunately for you, you don't have the giant fucking motherfuckers I do. If I could just get my skin healthy on my feet, we could all be fucking rich.
Oh, I've got flippers. I can make it some money with my feet.
I'm fine with that.
What happened? Why did I lose?
It just said, fuck you.
Face of the Revolution ladder match was okay.
Yeah, I gotta say, this one was one of the matches that I had high hopes for, and it was just
here's the thing. Okay. Wardlow, perfect. Glad he won. Didn't need Hobbs and fucking Lee in this match.
No. And, like, the way they kind of just got taken out.
Cassidy got injured, you know?
Yeah, that sucked.
And I know Kane has a history of being in ladder matches and shit and Money in the Bank, but I kind of agree with, again, Jim Cornette here. I hate to do this, but big guys in ladder matches is not the greatest thing ever.
I mean, one or two, sure, but they had...
all of their big guys.
Yeah.
All of them, but not besides Eric Andrew, who really isn't one of their big guys, I guess. Anyway.
Yeah, it was okay match. I mean, it definitely could have been better.
Alistair's looking cut.
Oh, dude, he's in great shape. Alistair Black, or Alistair, fucking Malachi.
I still remember him.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Malachi Black name, too. I like how they do this shit. I like how they
do Matt was also commenting about how, like, every time you see him, the black on his face gets bigger.
I dig everything he's doing. I like Brody King with him. I like Buddy Matthews with him. I like the whole thing. See, I love when he popped. I love that shit. So good.
Jade Cargill versus Tay Conti.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm getting over Jade.
I love Jade.
Like, she's good. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't get me wrong at all. I think she's great, and I love what she does in the ring. I'm kind of getting over this run of hers.
Yeah, the Goldberg syndrome. I can understand it, but. I mean, but who right now are they going to have to lose to that it really makes Jamie Hayter right now, too. There's another love of my life. Good Lord. Anyways, you know, I think Jade's got kind of along really well, like, for someone who's never wrestled before. Like, I've always been interested. Her promos to me are good. I enjoy them for the most part. I have really nothing to add. I mean, she seems to get better each time she's on the mic. This was her best match to take on. It was her best match. That was actually quite good. So, yeah, I give it like a solid B. I'll be honest. I think I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed the TBS title match more than I did the actual title match because Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker. I don't know. It just we'll get there.
Whoa.
I'm not talking about the cage.
There's
I'm not
a lot of just random straps and hoops and shit on fucking Tay Conti and Jamie Hayter's wrestling gear. I know Hayter's got, like, the fucking garter and shit like that, and that's meant to be fucking, like, sexy and whatnot. But, like, what is with the thing around Tay Conti's stomach
cake and in your face right there?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean. Tay Conti's good.
Very strong.
I don't know. I think she's a little clunky sometimes, so it's like, I don't know. Definitely prefer Jay Cargill, and it'll be interesting to see who they actually have beat her at some point. I mean, because it's gotta be a big deal when someone beats her, right? Whoever gets the belt off her. So, and it doesn't need to be happening anytime soon either. I mean, hell, she can go fucking. No, she can go fucking 16 overall. They just got to make the match.
The longer you have her go,
the more important
the bigger it is when somebody takes it off of her.
Yeah, and you can make an instant star by doing that. See, I would have gave it a B. I mean, but that's me. This was my other favorite match.
CM Punk versus MJF in the dog collar.
People, I saw people bitching about the thumbtacks, whatever. I honestly thought that everything in the match was fine. I loved it.
Oh, I thought this match was great.
It was excellent. It went exactly how it should have. I very much enjoyed it. I mean, the CM Punk MJF feud's been one of the best ones AEW's done. And it's funny because I just read something earlier about somebody saying, like, everything CM Punk's done in AEW's been boring. I'm like, okay, that's an opinion. I think it's a fucking idiotic one, but go for it. I mean, again, I'm just a 25-year-plus wrestling fan. I'm not a fucking expert, but I don't understand how you could have watched that or watched anything CM Punk's done in AEW and call it boring. It kind of baffles me, but whatever. But, what was the match after this one? I forget what was after this one.
America!
See, to me, there was a couple clunky spots in this match, and the crowd just was not in it.
Let's talk about the important thing. The new belt.
Yeah. I do like the new belt. I do.
I like the old one though.
But I guess my biggest issue.
I don't like the roundedness to it. I like how the new one sort of flows.
Yeah, the only guess the issue I have with the new belt or why it's there is like it's so soon after this one, the bigger version of the original came out. So it's like, why the fuck are they doing it all?
Because
like,
the bigger version was technically not a new version. Just bigger because the first version was given to fucking
Riho's a teeny, very teeny person. So, I mean, I get it, but.
Yeah, it also looks like the Gift of the Gods championship.
It does. I was going to say, I've watched
Lucha Underground quite a bit, and that definitely is the inspiration for that bad boy.
This was a good one, too.
This was excellent. Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Danielson versus Moxley.
Absolutely loved it.
I have an issue.
What?
Why did Bleacher Report have to put a Danielson versus Moxley when the graphic shows Moxley versus Danielson?
Oh, I don't know, those sons of bitches.
To be alphabetically accurate?
I don't know.
What is that?
Oh.
Something from Burger King that should be ignored.
Yeah, because it looks better in the commercial than it probably is.
And the fries suck.
Oh, the fries are the worst. They've never been good. But no, Moxley Danielson was excellent. I love William Regal showing up. I love what they're doing with it so far. Please sign me up for more.
Bada bing!
And I definitely want to see Danielson and Moxley take the tag titles off Jurassic Express at this point. Yes, please. Because it will be a very big deal to whoever beats them for the belts.
In hindsight, this is a weird match.
Absolutely was a weird match. Don't understand why it was on the pay-per-view card. I'll be honest. It kind of dragged the pay-per-view longer than...
on the card?
Yeah, but that's the thing, like...
Put it on the buy-in. I mean, if you really, I don't know. I
just didn't think... Especially when you had the TNT title match, Triple Threat, with Darby, Sammy, and Andrade on the Friday before the show. That thing was a fucking banger. Why it wasn't on the pay-per-view, I don't fucking know. I mean, obviously, they need something to draw a Rampage, but I don't know. I think they could have put this on Rampage, and it would have drawn. And then you had the triple threat match on the pay-per-view, and voila. I don't know. I just think it could have been done better.
I don't think C-plus is generous.
I agree. I would have said C-minus.
And the main event, this is the point where I got home and was not well, and I missed this whole match, basically.
It's a good match, but it's typical of Adam Cole's, you know, matches. Lots of super kicks, a fucking... A lot
typical
of
Adam Cole's NXT match, or, yes, or AEW match.
NXT. It is normal NXT style stuff. I mean, it's a lot of, like, there's a couple times he didn't, the selling was a little, I mean, I agree with David to a point, but I still enjoyed the match. I really did. And it's a good, solid defense for Hangman. And this Jamie Hayter and Mercedes match has been really good from what I've seen. I'll go back and watch this goddamn Jamie Hayter.
Holy shit. After we started this podcast, the news dropped that the Colts are trading for Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
2022 third-round pick, and our dear friend Anthony Hammett is so distraught at this point that he's talking about Baker Mayfield. There are better ways, Anthony.
Better ways.
There are better ways, my friend. You don't need to settle for Baker Mayfield. You could get Jameis Winston.
It'll be interesting.
No, he's going back to the Saints.
That's
going to
be interesting to see.
You could have had Jameis Winston.
Carson Wentz is with the fucking Commanders now, and you got fucking...
And I thought Tyler Heinicke was a pretty good quarterback for them. I didn't mind Heinicke. He did good fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I don't know. They just didn't think it's... Washington's one of the worst Ryan franchises, too. I mean,
Luke Voigt making his Padre debut today.
Oh, good friend.
But that's crazy, Matt Ryan in Indy. Should be interesting.
Oh my god, think about this. The Colts is now where quarterback careers go to die.
Yeah, I mean...
Andrew Luck, Phillip Rivers, now Matt Ryan.
Carson Wentz didn't collapse.
No, yet. But it didn't die. He's playing elsewhere.
Yeah. But I mean, it's also... Or it's a pit stop, at least, for people. I mean, because, Christ, they had... who was it? They had someone else after Luck, too. They had a couple people.
Oh, my Lord.
This Jacoby Brissett, I think that's who... Yeah, that's who it was.
Look at this maskless Rey Mysterio in Sapporo, Japan, 1996.
Wow. He looks like a little kid.
Do you see who he's with? Jericho and two guys who I cannot... I'm guessing...
Psychosis. To the left. That's Psychosis.
Oh, the tall guy, yeah.
Yeah, it's the far left, yeah.
Is that LaParca?
That's probably LaParca, I would guess, yeah. I don't know for sure, but...
Dude, Ray has long hair.
It's weird. It's weird seeing that.
All right, guys. Let's go ahead and call this because I need Jake to take me and Jason to the dispensary.
Well, I'm not going. Yeah,
I need Jake to take me to the dispensary before he goes to Hork.
Hork.
So we're going to go ahead and call this episode.
Oh, Jamie here. Thank you for that.
Try and get this up today.
I'm going to leave this here so you can.
Okay.
Yep. All right.
All right, y'all.
Later.
Farts.
Yep.
Good night.
Night.